From KMOX Sports.
Okay, boys, here we go.
Welcome to the Graybar Sports Open Line.
Those bit swings, and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Here we go.
Now, Matt Pauley on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, man, let's get going here.
Here we go.
Let's go.
On a Thursday night, we welcome you in. It is time for a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley. Have you for the next 2 hours. We're taking you until 8 o'clock this evening, a full Sports Open Line today, and glad to have it. No Cardinals baseball. They are back at tomorrow as they are set to open up a very, very, very important six-game homestand, three against the Dodgers, three against the Brewers. As always, if you want to chime in with what we've got going on, you can do so by calling, texting, or tweeting. If you call or text, the phone number is 314-436-7900. That's 314-436-7900. That's how you call or text, or you can tweet at me at Matt Pauley on air. Gonna carve out a little bit of time today in the third segment of this hour, 6:30, 6:35-ish, somewhere in there. Gonna carve out some time to talk with you if you want to chime in on where you think the issues with the Cardinals exist. What is leading to what is happening right now? And I'll say this, just as you're thinking about maybe making that phone call or sending that text message a little while later this hour, this isn't the opportunity for you to call in and say, this person needs to be fired and this person needs to be fired. And everybody, like to have a little bit more of a nuanced discussion on the parts of the organization and things that are going on in the organization that are startling you or worrying you about the direction of the organization. It's not just this hot take, this person needs to be fired and this person needs to be fired. I want to do a little bit more than that. So going to present that to you at about 6:30, 6:35 or so. So start thinking through that. If you want to text in your comments for that segment, you can already do so right now at 314-436-7900, or you can tweet at me at Matt Pauley on air, MattPauley on air. We got a few guests that are going to be on the show today in about 10 minutes or so. We're going to talk with Daniel Guerrero from the Post-Dispatch and STL today. We'll talk Cardinals with him specifically, get a little bit into what's going on with the minor leagues, but also want to get his thoughts on what's going on with Jordan Walker, because Walker gets the call up and now he's a platoon guy just basically facing off against left-handed pitching. And it's a bit of a tightrope right now for the team because they're fighting for a playoff spot and winning games at the major league level and trying to claw your way into the playoffs, to me, is more important than anything else going on in the organization. But that doesn't mean other things going on in the organization are unimportant. It doesn't mean that developing players and doing all these things just has zero importance. So Jordan Walker is still a really, really important big piece of the Cardinals' future. Yet it feels like in many ways, him continuing to develop and get better has been put on the back burner in an attempt to get some production against left-handed pitching. And I don't know. I think it's an interesting discussion to be had on what needs to be valued, what needs to be prioritized when it seems like things are kind of going up against each other. Because I think we can all agree that Walker being a part-time player at the big league level when he's still trying to put his swing back together doesn't do the most to make him the best version of himself. But if it helps the Cardinals win games, then does that trump everything else? And does it help the Cardinals win games? That's probably the bigger question in there. So we'll talk with Daniel Guerrero about that. We'll preview the Dodgers series with Fabian Ardaia. We'll do that next hour at about 7:20. We'll talk NFL football with Russell Baxter at about 7:35. Great guy to be able to talk football with. I, like most people, am frustrated with the way the Cardinals are playing, am frustrated with the results that we are seeing from the team. That series against the Reds was terrible. That series against the Reds was about as one-sided as a series can be. The closest game is a 4-1 loss. I mentioned this with Kevin Wheeler at 5:15. You know, there were some that pointed out the fact that the Cardinals yesterday collect 10 hits. So the fact that they have 10 hits, that maybe that is a step forward. And I'm not trying to be dismissive of 10 hits. 10 hits, you win a lot of baseball games with 10 hits. But what Oliver Marmol said after the game yesterday, and what I think is completely true, is they got outslugged. Of the 10 hits yesterday for the Cardinals, 8 of them were singles. You had 2 doubles, and you had 8 singles. And that doesn't score runs very often in today's baseball, especially when you're struggling with runners in scoring position the way the Cardinals are. But even without that, you need slug. You need extra bases. You need doubles. You need home runs. You need all of those things. That's what results in you scoring a whole bunch of runs. And that didn't happen this series. The Reds, even in a game where the Cardinals collect 10 hits, they scored the 2 runs on 10 hits. The Reds yesterday had their 9 runs on 13 hits. So when we're looking at the flaws of the Cardinals from an offensive standpoint, clearly and obviously we need to talk about their lack of production hitting with runners in scoring position. If that's 1A, 1B is the lack of extra base hitting, the lack of doubles and home runs that this team is hitting. And that results in a series like we saw over the last 3 days where the Reds out-homer the Cardinals 10-1. And I get pushback on this. I do. And there is a certain contingent of fan that loves the way baseball used to be played because of how aesthetically pleasing it was. And I'm not arguing that. Not arguing the aesthetics of baseball from, like, let's say, the 80s and before that. But there are people that hang on to the aesthetics of the way the game was played, say, in the 80s, and then they don't want to hear about home runs and doubles. And this is a bottom line true statement. And for those of you who are under the category of what I just described, I'm sorry. But in today's baseball, if you want to go score runs, you got to get extra base hits. And yesterday's game is such a perfect example of that, where the Cardinals only get out hit by 3, 13-10. But it get outscored by 7, 9-2. It has everything to do with extra base hits, and we need to see more of that from the Cardinals. So again, we will we'll dive in a little bit more into the issues that's going on. This team, there's the pathway to the postseason is getting dimmer and dimmer with every loss. They got to find a way to start winning games consistently. Can that happen? It can. Does it look likely? I wouldn't say it's likely. I haven't shut the door on it quite yet. But the issues that exist leading into a possible playoff run in the final month, we'll talk about that coming up at 6:35. And again, we'll be welcoming your phone calls, your text messages, and your tweets during that segment. Up next, though, we'll talk with Daniel Guerrero from the Post-Dispatch and STL Today, talk a little bit through what's going on across the Cardinals minor leagues, and also get his thoughts on what's going on with Jordan Walker. We'll do that next. This is Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Our Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly, taking you until 8 o'clock this evening. No Cardinals baseball. That's why we have the full show this evening. Cardinals baseball tomorrow when they welcome in the Los Angeles Dodgers for a 3-game weekend series. Happy to go to the guest line right now and welcome in somebody that you read at STL Today and also in the Post-Dispatch covering the Cardinals both at the Major League level and also at the minor league level. He is Daniel Guerrero on Twitter at TheDanGuerrero. Daniel, always appreciate you finding some time for us today. I always appreciate you finding some time for us. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Always appreciate the invite, Matt.
So I want to start with Jordan Walker because you've watched this whole situation from a major league level and also a minor league level. He was really getting things going at Memphis recently. Kind of found it. There's been a lot of talk about him laying off the low and away pitches and things like that. And the Cardinals had an injury and they have a need against left-handed pitching, and they call him up, but he's not really playing that much. How do you kind of assess what the Cardinals are doing right now with Jordan Walker as they want to get production at the big league level, but also him continuing to develop is an important thing as well?
Yeah, it's an interesting scenario, right? As you mentioned, because he's a young guy. I mean, he's still 22 years old. He seemed like he had really, really made some strides down in Memphis over the last couple of weeks, and it showed. I mean, the slugging was there, the extra base hits were there. It wasn't just you know, bloop singles or whatever. You know, that he was really scorching the ball. If you look at the batted ball data, I mean, he had a couple of balls, you know, above 110 miles an hour exit velocity. You know, he hit one, I think it was like 113.2, which I think is the highest he's had at any level this year. And I know people make a lot about exit velocity, but I mean, you saw the adjustments were there and the strides were there. And as you mentioned, right, I mean, Cardinals have a need. I mean, the left-handed pitching against them has been kind of, you know, this riddle that they haven't solved yet. Right, so I mean, they bring him up. And I think one of the biggest parts of that equation of having a right-handed bat to solve lefties was just having somebody who can play the outfield, right? I mean, somebody who was already on the 40-man with some, you know, at-bats in the big leagues, and somebody who can play outfield, and Jordan Walker fit that profile. I mean, it seemed like the timing was right with where he was at, just as far as at the plate and the adjustments he's made. I mean, just the kind of scenario that he's in, right? I mean, to be used kind of as a platoon guy, to face lefties off the bench as well. It really is an interesting spot, because obviously the Cardinals are still in contention for a playoff spot. Jordan Walker's still young and still developing. So, I mean, it's kind of a tough predicament, right? Because you want Jordan Walker to develop and get at bats, but you also need to maximize kind of the lineup and try to win games, because you're really in a pivotal spot in the entire season.
The roster is in a spot right now, because if you're just looking for the bat against lefties, then maybe maybe Lucan Baker gets that opportunity. He seems like the guy that might fit better in terms of being a platoon player. But to what you just said, they wanted to get the handedness, but they also wanted to find somebody who could be in the outfield all at the same time. And that's kind of why Walker is here, and maybe not somebody like a Lucan Baker.
Yeah, and I think you saw an example of that yesterday, right, where Jordan Walker comes off the bench to pinch hit against a lefty reliever and stays in the game and plays right. Obviously, you know, that could be a spot where Lucan Baker could come in, but I mean, him just being limited at first base, I mean, there's not as much flexibility, you know, for after the at-bat. And I mean, that's kind of where Jordan Walker was, you know, kind of the closest to perfect fit in what the Cardinals were looking for internally to bring a right-handed bat to be used against lefties.
Has Baker earned the opportunity to get another major league shot?
I mean, it's an interesting thing with him too, just because you look at the power, and the power is there. I mean, he's the home run success is there. Has already had another 30 home run season. Is walking a bit. I mean, he isn't hitting for average as much as he was last year. But I think the predicament there is just, you know, where his opportunities would be, because you have Paul Goldschmidt. I mean, obviously, has struggled this year, but I mean, it's still Paul Goldschmidt, and you trust him at first base. And you know, the immediate backup, from kind of the way I've seen it, you know, it's Alec Burleson, who's been a key part of that lineup, and you know, hasn't had a lot of reps at first base at the major league level, but you know, has been able to play there defensively on, you know, days that Goldschmidt needs off. So I mean, I think Lucan Baker, just as far as a bat, you know, you would want to give him a look, you know, give him an extended look at the major league level. But I mean, as you mentioned too, with the handedness that they're looking for, the defensive versatility they're looking for, and kind of the moment in the season, right, where you know, you need to win these games, and there's not as much, you know, mixing and matching that you can do with, you know, giving guys shots. I mean, Lucan Baker's just kind of in a tough spot at the moment.
We're talking with Daniel Guerrero from the Post-Dispatch, STL Today. You're not going to find anybody better across the country writing about prospects and the minors, and he writes pretty much on a daily basis about what's going on in the Cardinals minor league system. Of note, we saw Tink Hintz complete 4 scoreless innings yesterday. That was really good to see him do that at Springfield. But Daniel, he's also somebody who missed a lot of time again with injury. He's going to have a hard time getting that innings pitched again above 100. He came up just short of 100 last year. Where are the Cardinals at in terms of trying to get that innings pitched up to a point where he can start moving into more being that conventional starter, that if he gets to the big leagues in the next year or two, he can give you 160-plus innings?
I think we had seen glimpses of that earlier this year before Tink went down. I mean, he dealt with, you know, some, he described it as fatigue and, you know, some back problems and kind of like, or back, not problems, but back, you know, discomfort. Obviously he's healthy now and looks really sharp. Yesterday he was, you know, electric is a kind of a good way to put it when he's on. But yeah, I mean, the innings count or the inning total that, you know, you would like to see out of, you know, somebody who's going to be a big league starter just hasn't been there yet. I mean, he neared it last year, got up into the 90s, even after missing about a month of action. This year he was out for about a month too, and he's, I think, hovering around like 66, close to 70. But obviously you want to see a guy who's going to be throwing, you know, 100 plus, you know, 120, 130 innings, you know, for a big league arm. And I think we saw that earlier this year. I mean, he had gotten into the sixth inning a few times, was still looking sharp. I mean, facing, you know, lineup for third time through, fourth time through. I mean, and he was, you know, had that success. And I think just this is another hiccup in kind of that buildup. I mean, they've been really careful with him. You know, he was a high school arm, came in the 2020 draft, and has had this slow progression, but one that I think the Cardinals are handling very cautiously, because, I mean, he is, you know, kind of that blue chip pitching prospect that they want to make sure has the right development and the right, I guess, workload to avoid further injury. I mean, he's had a few setbacks, but I mean, it seems like right now where he's at, he's kind of inching back towards where he was before he missed some time this summer.
MLB Pipeline just did a reshuffling of their prospect rankings with all the guys who got drafted in there, and the Cardinals' top pick, J.J. Weatherholt, comes in at number 19. That's not in the Cardinals organization. That's across all of Major League Baseball for prospects. The numbers and some of the advanced numbers that we've already seen from him in a very short time, the hard hit rate and the exit velocities, all that, I mean, he is jumping off the page. I know it's really, really early in his professional career, but does it feel like the Cardinals may have gotten a really special one here?
Yeah, I mean, the hard hit numbers really jump, I mean, literally and figuratively, like, jump off the page, right? I mean, I was looking this up earlier, and, you know, the 29 balls he's put in play this year that have been tracked by StatCast, 12 of them have exit velocities above 100 miles an hour, which, I mean, for a guy to jump right in from playing, you know, in the Big 12 with West Virginia University to jump in a low A, which, I mean, there's a gap. I mean, there's, you know, not everybody gets drafted and not everybody starts off at that level. And, you know, he's adjusted well. I mean, with the batter ball data, and that looks strong. I mean, he's playing a lot of shortstop, which is what the Cardinals had planned for him to do in his intro to pro ball. But I mean, yeah, you look at what he does with the bat, what he does with kind of that advanced with what he shows in the advanced data. I think fielding wise, seems to, you know, be able to play short. I mean, you know, like you mentioned, it's a long ways down the road, but I mean, we'll see if he sticks there and moves around. Obviously, shortstops always have a ton of versatility to move around at any position. But yeah, I mean, it definitely seems like, I mean, after really what was like a lost season in 2023, this is kind of a silver lining, right? You get this guy who not only is, you know, the top prospect in the system, but one of the top prospects in all of baseball.
He's got to perform before any of this other stuff can happen. But college guys can move up the system very quickly. If he gets to St. Louis, say, in the next couple of years, obviously Mason Wynn's going to be at shortstop. Is second base the place you would expect to maybe see him, especially if it's a really quick rise?
Yeah, I mean, that's a spot we saw him at. I didn't really watch a whole lot of West Virginia University games, but, you know, that's a spot that he played a lot of at the collegiate level. So, I mean, that's definitely a landing spot there for him. But, yeah, I mean, and then to see how quickly he rises, I mean, right, I mean, college guys can move quickly. Quinn Matthews is a guy who's been a breakout prospect for the Cardinals this year and in his first full season has gotten to Double-A. Who knows how quickly J.J. Weatherholt will move up. But, I mean, with a couple of I know Springfield has already clinched a playoff spot. And, you know, Palm Beach already has a playoff spot. So, I mean, you never know, like, what kind of that movement will look like at the end of the year for guys to continue to get reps. And, you know, who knows if he's a candidate or not to do that. But, I mean, he certainly would be somebody who, you know, the Cardinals could give another look at, you know, to play some extra games in a high-intensity environment.
Couple more quick things for you. You mentioned Quinn Matthews, and he's gone up the system very quickly this year, low A, high A to Double A Springfield. A lot of times when you get these college guys, they perform at a really high level at Single A because they're facing guys younger than them, and then it starts to come off a bit at Double A. For Matthews, he's got a 3.11 ERA in seven games at Springfield. He has not been intimidated by that. What have you seen from him as he's been able to make his way to one of the higher levels?
I think what you've seen is just a guy who can command the zone wherever he's pitching. I mean, regardless of the level and I guess the how advanced hitters are. I mean, he's right there. I mean, he had a kind of a hiccup in his first start coming out of the All-Star break. But I mean, you look at since then. I mean, he's given up 4 runs in his last, I think, 21 in the third innings. I mean, 1.69 ERA in that span. You know, in that same stretch, I mean, 31 strikeouts and 7 walks. I mean, he's a guy who leads the league. He leads all of minor league baseball at strikeouts, his third in strikeout rate, has been able to keep walks down. I mean, and that's something that's really stuck out with just the velocity gains he's made. I mean, I know a lot of times we talk about, you know, guys, you know, touching the, you know, mid to upper 90s, but, you know, who knows where it's going. But, I mean, with Quinn Matthews, he's showing that, you know, he can make those strides and still keep his command and pitch at any level and adjust there. And I think, you know, first start out of the break was kind of an adjustment one, but you've seen after, you know, he's kind of back to the flow and kind of the rhythm that he was in as he, you know, really raced up the prospect ladder.
Last question for you. Does Thomas Tsiasi get to St. Louis this year?
Man, that's an interesting one just because, I mean, you look at the 40-man status and he's not on there, so he'd need to be added, and there's kind of a, you know, there'd need to be a crunch there. But I think when you look at what he's done this year, I mean, I know John Mozeliak, the day, you know, right after the trade deadline passed, I mean, he mentioned Thomas Tsiasi as a prospect who has taken some strides. And obviously he fits that profile of a right-handed bat, somebody who has a little bit of positional versatility on the infield. He hasn't played outfield, but I mean, you can kind of move him around, you know, with second, short, and third. But anything can happen, right? You know, because you never know if injuries can happen or if he just plays his way and swings his way up to the majors. But I mean, I don't see like the clearest kind of path for him at the moment. But I mean, you can't really count anything out. You know, I mean, you never know.
He is Daniel Guerrero, covers the Cardinals minor leagues, and does a fantastic job with it with Post-Dispatch and STL Today. He's on Twitter at TheDanGuerrero. Daniel, always appreciate your time. We'll hopefully see you at the ballpark this weekend.
Yeah, thank you, Matt.
Awesome, very good. There's Daniel Guerrero joining us. Up next, this is when I'm going to hand things off to you for a little while if you want it. Obviously, the Cardinals are struggling right now. All of a sudden, the path to the playoffs looks bleak, to probably to put it in as good of terms as you can put it in. Doesn't mean that they can't turn things around, but it's just been it hasn't been a great run for this team. What do you see in the organization that you want to see them do better? And like I said earlier when I opened up the show, this isn't the chance for you to just call and say, fire Ollie, fire Mo. Like, no, that's not what we're doing here. Let's have a little bit more of a nuanced conversation about it, welcoming in your phone calls, your text messages, and your tweets. 314-436-7900. That's how you call or text. Tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air. We've got more coming up in just a moment. It's Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. Paulie taking you until 8 o'clock this evening. St. Louis City Soccer Report will come up from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock. Wanted to do something here. The Cardinals are obviously struggling. I don't think this is a small sample size sort of thing. I think these struggles that they're going through are real. You combine that to the way the season started and combine that to what happened last season. All of a sudden you start to say, okay, where does this organization need to be better? What can they do better? And I wanted to have that conversation. And it's not a this person needs to be fired and this person needs to be fired and they need to do these crazy things. But what are the things that you are seeing that you don't like the way it's going that you would like to see them do better? And just wanted to get kind of the feeling of the fans on that. So hoping to have a nuanced, non-vitriolic conversation here. If you want to get in, you can do so by calling or texting 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's how you call or text. Tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air. First phone caller is Jack. Hey, Jack, you're on Sports Open Line.
I was just calling in on regarding to participate in the input on the team. Basically, it's just so much inconsistency. None of it makes sense. Maybe there's something internal that you and I don't know about, but none of it makes sense. They're getting destroyed. 19 runs given up the last three games. There just needs to be some trades done, and the ownership has to confess, and at least they're going to have to try to spend money to get a player that's hopefully worthwhile. And it's a gamble or a risk, you know, not wanting to spend the money to think they're going to get hurt, but they need to change something immediately. There's just too many problems and inconsistency. And again, I'm not saying fire anybody, but where I work at, if I was to be responsible for what's going on, they would let me go with the kind of money Mozeliak and all the people are making. Again, I don't know exactly. Nobody knows, but it's embarrassing, and there's just a lot of turmoil to me going on that we're probably not seeing.
Hi, Jack. Appreciate the phone call. I don't think money is the issue. There are a lot of teams that spend less money than the Cardinals that have a lot of success. Does that mean they can't go spend more money? I'm not saying that. If they want to go spend more money, I'm fine with that. You spend more money, you got a better chance of being good. But spending money the right way is more important than just spending money. And we see that from teams like the Rays and the Brewers and the Tigers and the Guardians. Teams like that spend less money than the Cardinals and get more out of it. There's not much you can do from a trade perspective right now because it's past the trade deadline. But if this team doesn't make the playoffs, I think things look very, very different from top to bottom, not just from a roster standpoint, but from many other areas of the organization as well. JD has given us a call. Hey, JD, you're on Sports Open Line.
How you doing, Matt?
Doing all right.
It's depressing. I admit it. And, you know, the definition of insanity is to keep doing the same thing and expect different results. And I want to draw a parallel for you. The Matt Carpenter extension, the $40 million when he was hitting 150. The Miles Michaelis extension when your pitching staff was imploding and you shower $40 million more dollars on him. We couldn't pay for Scherzer back when, and we've invested $140 million in Michaelis, and we've gotten 10 WAR. Okay, that's horrible. I mean, let's use a comparison. Eric Fetty is a Michaelis comp, and he's got 5 WAR this year. That's not going to be a difference maker. Now, we're headed to an inflection point, and I know the Cardinals hate adverse publicity, but Paul Goldschmidt is probably looking for an extension. It would be probably the worst thank you contract that we could ever bestow on a player, because we have a natural first baseman in Alec Burleson who keys the offense, and I'll go with that a little farther. I've watched the team this year pretty closely. It's depressing, I know, from time to time. But wasn't it thrilling for fans to see a young hitter come out of the Cardinal organization and develop and to start to produce runs? And the combination of Wynn and Burleson at the top of the lineup won us many games. When you had a hammer bullpen and Helsley at the end, that's how we got those 4 and 5 runs to win those games. And the league figured it out. And they say, hey, you know what? We're not going to throw those two guys anything to hit. We're going to pitch to Arenado and Goldschmidt. And we've gone right back into the tank. So the worst thing you could do would be to peel off another $40 million and give it to Paul Goldschmidt. You need to move Burleson to first base, and you need to let outfielders play the outfield, and you need to get off of second and get a good double play combination and win. They're both gold glovers, and there's just no excuse for this. And one last thing. Siani's defense, we've really missed it. Really missed it. It was nice to have a real center fielder for a while. And you can see that the lack of him making those plays makes the difference in these games, and that's why we're losing now. And sorry to say, we're going to keep losing because they're not going to give Burleson anything to hit the rest of the year.
JD, appreciate the phone call. I do think you identified something that I've looked at lately. I've talked about it a fair amount. The team started losing, you know, in August. They don't have a very good record. And in August, two guys who have really started slumping, Mason Wynn and Alec Burleson. When this team was on their five-week run, those two guys were right in the middle of it. And when they're not hitting, they haven't been able to score quite as many runs. I don't think they're going to give a big deal to Paul Goldschmidt. Do I think there's a possibility that he could come back on a one-year deal with nothing guaranteed and them knowing that they could still hand it off to Alec Burleson? I think that's a possibility. I don't think it's guaranteed. I would be shocked if they gave a big money deal to Paul Goldschmidt. We have tons of phone calls. Let's grab one more this segment. We will go to Walter. Walter, I just have a quick moment for you. You're on Sports Open Line. Walter, you there? All right, we lost Walter. Let's see. I think we can grab one more. We'll go to Big Al. Big Al, you've got just a moment or so. You're on Sports Open Line.
You sound like my girlfriend. Hey, how you doing, buddy? Where do I start?
You got me to laugh on that. Well, you got about 30 seconds, Big Al, so say what you're
really
going to say.
You really sound like her. We need our assistant GM to be our GM. I'm not saying fire, retire early and change the organization from top to bottom. We take pitches. First two or three pitches, we look at them like Goldschmidt and his coach we brought over. Swing the bat, dip the ball, run, catch. Come on.
All right. So the final word there here in this segment from Big Al is do everything better, basically. We'll take if we can get a call or two in this next segment, we will, or maybe after the 7 o'clock. There's a lot of people on hold, so if you want to hang on, I'll do my best to get to you. It's a fun, good conversation we're having right now. We're back in just a moment. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Our Sports Open Line on KMOX. Have about a minute left here in this first hour of the program. We've been taking your phone calls on what you want to see the Cardinals do better. Matt Pauley taking you until 8 o'clock this evening. St. Louis City Soccer Report will come up from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock. Wanted to do something here. The Cardinals are obviously struggling. I don't think this is a small sample size sort of thing. I think these struggles that they're going through are real. You combine that to the way the season started and combine that to what happened last season, all of a sudden you start to say, okay, where does this organization need to be better? What can they do better? And I wanted to have that conversation. And it's not a this person needs to be fired and this person needs to be fired and they need to do these crazy things. But what are the things that you are seeing that you don't like the way it's going that you would like to see them do better? And just wanted to get kind of the feeling of the fans on that. So hoping to have a nuanced, non-vitriolic conversation here. If you want to get in, you can do so by calling or texting 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's how you call or text. Tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air. First phone caller is Jack. Hey, Jack, you're on Sports Open Line.
I was just calling in on regarding to participate in the input on the team. Basically, it's just so much inconsistency. None of it makes sense. Maybe there's something internal that you and I don't know about, but none of it makes sense. They're getting destroyed. 19 runs given up the last three games. There just needs to be some trades done, and the ownership has to confess, and at least they're going to have to try to spend money to get a player that's hopefully worthwhile, and it's a gamble or a risk, you know, not wanting to spend the money to think they're going to get hurt, but they need to change something immediately. There's just too many problems and inconsistency, and again, I'm not saying fire anybody, but where I work at, if I was to be responsible for what's going on, they would let me go with the kind of money Mozeliak and all the people are making. Again, I don't know exactly. Nobody knows, but it's embarrassing, and there's just a lot of turmoil to me going on that we're probably not seeing.
Hi, Jack. Appreciate the phone call. I don't think money is the issue. There are a lot of teams that spend less money than the Cardinals that have a lot of success. Does that mean they can't go spend more money? I'm not saying that. If they want to go spend more money, I'm fine with that. You spend more money, you got a better chance of being good. But spending money the right way is more important than just spending money. And we see that from teams like the Rays and the Brewers and the Tigers and the Guardians, teams like that spend less money than the Cardinals and get more out of it. There's not much you can do from a trade perspective right now because it's past the trade deadline. But if this team doesn't make the playoffs, I think things look very, very different from top to bottom, not just from a roster standpoint, but from many other areas of the organization as well. JD has given us a call. Hey, JD, you're on Sports Open Line.
How you doing, Matt?
Doing all right.
It's depressing. I admit it. And, you know, the definition of insanity is to keep doing the same thing and expect different results. And I want to draw a parallel for you. The Matt Carpenter extension, the $40 million when he was hitting 150. The Miles Michaelis extension when your pitching staff was imploding and you shower $40 million more dollars on him. We couldn't pay for Scherzer back when, and we've invested $140 million in Michaelis, and we've gotten 10 WAR. Okay, that's horrible. I mean, let's use a comparison. Eric Fetty is a Michaelis comp, and he's got 5 WAR this year. That's not going to be a difference maker. Now, we're headed to an inflection point, and I know the Cardinals hate adverse publicity, but Paul Goldschmidt is probably looking for an extension. It would be probably the worst thank you contract that we could ever bestow on a player, because we have a natural first baseman in Alec Burleson who keys the offense, and I'll go with that a little farther. I've watched the team this year pretty closely. It's depressing, I know, from time to time, but wasn't it thrilling for fans to see a young hitter come out of the Cardinal organization and develop and to start to produce runs? And the combination of Wynn and Burleson at the top of the lineup won us many games. When you had a hammer bullpen and Helsley at the end, that's how we got those 4 and 5 runs to win those games. And the league figured it out. And they say, hey, you know what? We're not going to throw those two guys anything to hit. We're going to pitch to Arenado and Goldschmidt. And we've gone right back into the tank. So the worst thing you could do would be to peel off another $40 million and give it to Paul Goldschmidt. You need to move Burleson to first base, and you need to let outfielders play the outfield, and you need to get off of second and get a good double play combination and win. They're both gold glovers, and there's just no excuse for this. And one last thing. Ciani's defense, we've really missed it. Really missed it. It was nice to have a real center fielder for a while. And you can see that the lack of him making those plays makes the difference in these games. And that's why we're losing now. And sorry to say, we're going to keep losing because they're not going to give Burleson anything to hit the rest of the year.
JD, appreciate the phone call. I do think you identified something that I've looked at lately. I've talked about it a fair amount. The team started losing, you know, in August. They don't have a very good record. And in August, two guys who have really started slumping, Mason Wynn and Alec Burleson. When this team was on their 5-week run, those two guys were right in the middle of it. And when they're not hitting, they haven't been able to score quite as many runs. I don't think they're going to give a big deal to Paul Goldschmidt. Do I think there's a possibility that he could come back on a 1-year deal with nothing guaranteed and them knowing that they could still hand it off to Alec Burleson? I think that's a possibility. I don't think it's guaranteed. I would be shocked if they gave a big money deal to Paul Goldschmidt. We have tons of phone calls. Let's grab one more this segment. We will go to Walter. Walter, I just have a quick moment for you. You're on Sports Open Line. Walter, you there? All right, we lost Walter. I think we can grab one more. We'll go to Big Al. Big Al, you've got just a moment or so. You're on Sports Open Line.
You sound like my girlfriend. Hey, how you doing, buddy? Where do I start?
You got me to laugh on that. Well, you got about 30 seconds, Big Al, so say what you're
really
going to say.
You really sound like her. We need our assistant GM to be our GM. I'm not saying fire, retire early and change the organization from top to bottom. We take pitches, first two or three pitches we look at them, like Goldschmidt and his coach we brought over, swing the bat, dip the ball, run, catch, come on.
All right, so the final word there here in this segment from Big Al is do everything better, basically. We'll take if we can get a call or two in this next segment, we will, or maybe after the 7 o'clock. There's a lot of people on hold, so if you want to hang on, I'll do my best to get to you. It's a fun, good conversation we're having right now. We're back in just a moment. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Our Sports Open Line on KMOX. Have about a minute left here in this first hour of the program. We've been taking your phone calls on what you want to see the Cardinals do better. Let's grab a couple calls before we do get out of here. You got to go really quick. We'll start with Rob. What say you?
Hello, are you there?
Yeah, you got just a moment here. Go ahead.
Yeah. It seemed like going into the season, everybody was a little suspect on the pitching, and rightfully so. I probably wouldn't have done anything different with the pitching staff if limited financial output. But everybody seemed like they was pretty pat offensively.
Yeah, Rob. Look, the decisions they made on pitching, I liked because they were trying to bring in so many guys. If we're being really honest about them, they haven't worked out great here recently. As the season has gone along, you know, Sonny Gray has been good, not great. I like the Sonny Gray signing. I'm glad Sonny's a Cardinal. But I think it's a little bit of an indictment on the decisions that were made that your top three pitchers in this series against Cincinnati, top three starters, they didn't get the job done. And from a hitting standpoint, the offense has been incredibly inconsistent this year, but that still goes back to the fact that Goldschmidt, Arenado, Gorman, three guys that were relying on so much to be a big part of what they were going to do offensively, those guys have not performed. We'll take a break for the 7 o'clock news and be back after that. It's Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Making your phone calls on what you want to see the Cardinals do better. Let's grab a couple calls before we do get out of here. You got to go really quick. We'll start with Rob. What say you?
Hello, are you there?
Yeah, you got just a moment here. Go ahead.
Yeah. It seemed like going into the season, everybody was a little suspect on the pitching, and rightfully so. I probably wouldn't have done anything different with the pitching staff if limited financial output. But everybody seemed like they was pretty pat offensively.
Yeah, Rob. Look, the decisions they made on pitching, I liked because they were trying to bring in so many guys. If we're being really honest about them, they haven't worked out great here recently. As the season has gone along, you know, Sonny Gray has been good, not great. I like the Sonny Gray signing. I'm glad Sonny's a Cardinal. But I think it's a little bit of an indictment on the decisions that were made that your top three pitchers in this series against Cincinnati, top three starters, they didn't get the job done. And from a hitting standpoint, the offense has been incredibly inconsistent this year, but that still goes back to the fact that Goldschmidt, Arenado, Gorman, three guys that were relying on so much to be a big part of what they were going to do offensively, those guys have not performed. We'll take a break for the 7 o'clock news and be back after that. It's Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.